Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 83 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Tandy Wallingford.
Maybe not having enough coal at the table or not having enough money and dollars for projects.
The Daniel Boone Rails to Trails group will hold a meeting on Monday night.
NOMI will hold a meeting on Tuesday.
Forest fire season got an early start this year.
Unemployment numbers for Kentucky are in from last month.
A Montgomery County man is facing murder charges.
In sports, Brown County's football team travels to Lewis County tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 61. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Daniel Boone Rails to Trails organization is set to host its next Triplet Valley Trail work session on Monday. This will be the third meeting on the matter, which offers community members an opportunity to give input on various aspects of the project. Jess Lawrence facilitated the first two meetings. She says the meeting breaks off into four groups that focus on communications and marketing, fundraising and grants, trailhead design, and trail construction.
Spent some time talking about, you know, through the lens of those four areas, what are some of the strengths we have as a community that support fundraising or support communication and events, et cetera? What are some of the opportunities that we have? What are some of the challenges and threats?
Monday's meeting will be held at the Sawstone Brewery from 7 to 8:30. For more information, visit the TVT Work Session event page on Facebook.
A national organization that assists individuals, friends, and family with mental illness is hosting a support group in Moorhead Tuesday evening. The National Alliance on Mental Illness aims to help those facing a wide array of issues, whether it be depression or schizophrenia. Carol Morello is the president of the Moorhead chapter of NAMI. She says even though individuals may be hesitant to seek out help with mental illness, they really shouldn't be.
If you have anxiety, maybe that doesn't have as much stigma as some of the others. If you're depressed, but, you know, maybe 1% of the population has schizophrenia. One in every five people is affected in some way by mental illness. So there really shouldn't be a stigma, but there is.
The group meeting will meet in the Rowan County Public Library conference room at 6 p.m. Tuesday. For more information, call 606-356-3181.
A 1968 Camaro stolen from a Tennessee car show has been returned to its Moorhead family. Last week, the Lewis family traveled to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee for the Fall Rod Run, one of the largest car shows in the South. Roger Lewis tells WKYT 2 days into the event, the family discovered that their Camaro was missing from the Gulfview Resort.
Somebody had hot-wired the car and just took off with it. I never knew that this kind of stuff happened down there. This is a growing thing. Every year, they're stealing people's vehicles there, and no one ever talks about it.
The thief held onto the car for 3 days while the Lewis family searched nearby business surveillance footage and leaned on Facebook for help. Pigeon Forge police found the vehicle on a secluded logging road abandoned by the thief. The cost of the damage was $10,000.
Depending on where you stand, it's been 23 days since any major rainfall in the WMKY listening area, and that's caused forest fire season to arrive a little early. The season doesn't officially start until October 1st, but many counties in the area have already had burn bans take effect. James McDonald is the Moorhead branch manager for the Kentucky Division of Forestry. He says there's a lot of factors that make forest fire season so hazardous.
Along with the fine fuels, things like grasses and the small twigs and stuff like that drying out, you also have the moisture coming out of the soil, and then early leaf fall from the trees being under stress from the drought. So you're getting leaf fall. You have fine fuels, and things are dry, and it's been hot. It's like the perfect combination for a fire there.
McDonald says in recently, the forestry division has been dealing with 2 to 3 fires a day. Forest fire season runs October 1st through December 15th. During that time, it's illegal to burn anything between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. within 150 feet of any wood or bushland area.
Kentucky's Supreme Court delved into a case Thursday revolving around whether the death penalty should apply to defendants who committed crimes between the ages of 18 and 21. The case reached the high court after a lower court judge ruled that applying the death penalty to such defendants amounts to an unconstitutionally disproportionate punishment. In 2005, the U.S. Supreme Court abolished capital punishment for juvenile offenders, ruling it unconstitutional to sentence anyone to death for a crime committed while younger than 18. Advances in studying the human brain since 2005 make it appropriate to examine whether the death penalty ban should apply to people committing offenses between 18 and 21. Timothy Arnold, director of the department's post-trial division, argued that the lower court ruling should be upheld. It could take several months for the Supreme Court to make a ruling.
More Kentuckians were unemployed last month. Paul Miles has a look at the numbers.
We're going to come back to that story here in just a moment. We'll have more of the headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number
Kentucky's
is 606-7.
Kentucky's jobless rate in August up from 4.3% in July. That's despite an increase in the civilian labor force. The state says workers entered the force at a faster rate than they were finding jobs. That pushed the August unemployment rate up, even though more people worked in August than in July. The sectors losing the most jobs last month were durable goods manufacturing and professional and business services. Kentucky's trade, transportation, and utility sector gained the most jobs. The national unemployment rate in August was 3.7%. I'm Paul Miles.
The U.S. Department of Justice's Office on Violence Against Women awarded a $500,000 grant to the Johnson County Fiscal Court. The money will be used to improve criminal justice response and boost protections for local victims of violence. The county will work with the Mountain Comprehensive Care Center and the Johnson County Sheriff's Department to implement the program. The federal program aims to enhance victim safety and offender accountability in cases of domestic violence, dating violence, sexual assault, and stalking. It will offer accountability by promoting a coordinated community response to these crimes. The funding in Johnson County will be dedicated to a deputy to serve protection orders, provide court testimony, and coordinate with advocates. The money will also support a non-governmental victim advocate to serve the victims of intimate partner violence.
A plan to build economic growth through tourism in Kentucky was released on Thursday. WMKY's Lori Likens has the story.
Democratic gubernatorial candidate Andy Beshear says the plan is a way to build economic growth. Beshear's plan calls for a new marketing campaign focused on attracting tourists from nearby states. If elected, he intends to make workforce development a priority in the hospitality industry, attract new professional sports teams, and to legalize casinos in the Commonwealth. His marketing efforts are to emphasize Kentucky's scenic attractions and its ties to bourbon and horses to promote the Bluegrass State as a world-class destination. For WMKY, I'm Lori Likens.
A Montgomery County man has been charged with murder. 41-year-old Richard McGahey is accused of killing Linville Smith on September the 4th. 38-year-old Maddie Mahone, 46-year-old Sonia Palmer, 46-year-old Philip Tuttle, and 39-year-old Stanley Sargent are also charged in connection to the crimes. They're accused of tampering with physical evidence and abuse of a corpse. According to WKYT, Smith's body was hidden in a deep freeze after he was killed. The suspects allegedly loaded the deep freeze onto a borrowed vehicle a few days after Smith was reported missing and drove to Menifee County, where they dumped the freezer over a hill. No bond has been set for any of the accused. All five are being held in the Montgomery County Detention Center.
Seven people have been arrested following the execution of a search warrant. The Daily Independent reports the Ashland police conducted a drug investigation at a residence on Hilton Avenue. After obtaining the warrant, suspected methamphetamine, heroin, drug paraphernalia. Six of the individuals arrested face charges of first-degree trafficking of methamphetamine, heroin, and possession of drug paraphernalia. They include 56-year-old Katrina Knowles, 30-year-old Patsy Bassett, 22-year-old Stephen Williams, and 36-year-old Ella Murphy, who all reside at the residence. Also facing those charges are 54-year-old Everett Daniels and 27-year-old Samuel Elliott. 23-year-old Savannah Titlow was arrested on outstanding warrants. They were all lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center.
A Kentucky teacher has been charged with sodomy, accused of repeatedly engaging in sexual acts with an underage girl in a public classroom. News outlet reports 27-year-old Evan Harvey was suspended from being a teacher and a football coach in the Daviess County School District after police charged him with third-degree sodomy on Thursday. The charge against him relates to his time in the Henderson County School District last year. A 16-year-old student told police they had consensual sexual relations. Harvey denied having any contact with the girl. A Daviess County High School official says the accusations don't involve their students.
A Northern Kentucky woman is being charged with first-degree murder after the death of her son in August. Stacey Schwatt was arrested in Dayton, Kentucky on September 13th. Her bail was set at $1 million Thursday. Police tell LAX 18, Schwatt told 911 her son injured himself on a microwave, but a coroner said the child had more serious injuries. The judge denied a request from Schwatt's public defender to reduce her $1 million bail because Schwatt reportedly has a history of bail jumping bail.
The name of a woman who died in a crash in Perry County yesterday has been released. Leslie Hall was killed when her car struck a building. Perry County Deputy Coroner Jeffrey Combs tells WYMT that they've learned about the accident.
She had some type of malfunction with the brakes and caused her to kind of lose control of the braking capacity. So she actually, in order to stop herself, she had actually hit a building there in the area.
A minor who was in the car with Hall at the time of the wreck was flown to a medical center in Kingsport, Tennessee.
Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area, tonight partly cloudy with a low around 62, Saturday mostly sunny with a high near 86, Saturday night mostly clear with a low around 63, Sunday sunny with a high near 84, Sunday night, a 30% chance of showers, mainly after 3 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 64. Monday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 3 p.m., then a slight chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 77.
It's currently 83 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University. On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff wonders how far forward we can see using 2020 hindsight.
We've all heard that hindsight is 20/20, but next year we're going to enjoy the once-in-a-lifetime chance of having hindsight in 2020, and then in 2021 we'll have hindsight about 2020. But why wait? Let's start imagining what sorts of hindsight we will gather as we work these poor prepositions to death. Hindsight in 2020 will find us looking back somewhat ruefully in the areas of education, the internet, medicine, radicalism, and debt, and that's just the short list. In education, 2020 hindsight will have people realizing and talking about how higher education and all publicly funded education has been inflating its value. Uncomfortable questions will follow. 2020 hindsight will see the disappearing dust of the once Wild West internet rolling off like a tumbleweed of particles, or bits rather, many people waving farewell in relief, since freedom is scary. Others, the few, will tear fluttering handkerchiefs, stained with tears and Red Bull, wanting it all to just go back to the way it was. Not to be. We will, as we usually do, trade safety, security, and profit for freedom. In 2020, our hindsight in medicine will give a name to this new syndrome, wherein people become blind to the fact that everyone gets sick and dies, declaring health itself a right, calling that right health care, and buying it with taxes, no matter the cost to our health. It will appear to be the greatest Ponzi scheme of all time, but in reality it will be a mere tautology, alas, one fat enough to take us down. Radicalism in politics and culture will have reached new highs, with youth once again declaring tradition obsolete, but pitching hard for very traditional views and politics regarding economy, war, the Middle East, and tolerance. Cooperation and collaboration will begin to look like possibilities, but will at first be called radicalism. Violent groups will be very disappointed when people start talking to each other again in 2020, what with all the hindsight. Finally, as it is final in so many ways, our debt will begin to look different in 2020. And it is ours. We voted for the people who keep voting to add ballast to this behemoth of a balloon. In 2020, we will look back in fresh horror at the throwing off of all hesitation on spending, supported by historic complicity from once opposed parties. People began to realize, even in 2019, that President Trump was really a Democrat. Not to worry, all of his party's leaders joined him when they voted together to blow the caps off of debt in the name of good intentions. We will see all of this in 2020, and we will declare to one another, I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It's 4:47 and 85 degrees here on the beautiful campus of MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Tandy Wallingford and Chaz Jenkins. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's Pizza in the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include the meats, the works, Tuscan 6 cheese, and many more. Side items include garlic parmesan breadsticks, cheese sticks, chicken wings, and poppers. Desserts include chocolate chip cookie and double chocolate chip brownie. For pickup and delivery in Moorhead and Brown County, Papa John's can be reached at 784-3551 and online at papajohns.com.
The Vikings are back in action tonight against Lewis County. For WMKY Sports, I'm Todd Martin. The Round County football team will face off against Lewis County tonight in Vanceburg. The Vikings are 2-2 this season, looking to break a two-game losing streak at home. Head coach Kelly Ford says his team needs to make some changes on defense after a heartbreaking loss to Fleming County last week.
Our blocking is still not where it needs to be. We've got to hold more up front, and then defensively, I mean, we missed a lot of open field tackles tonight that we got to get better at. I mean, it'll be another learning curve this Sunday when we get back in the film room and continue to get better. I told them it's preseason. Hey, I want to win them all too, but you can also learn from losing.
Lewis County is looking for their first win of the season. Kickoff in Vanceburg is set for 7:30 p.m. The Round County girls soccer team welcomes Boone County on Saturday. The 11-1-1 Vikings are hoping to get their 10th win in a row from the 2-8-3 Lady Rebels. Round County head coach Alan Evans says that he is using that marker to motivate his team.
We're looking for that progression, but we also use it for motivation. And so I told the girls, I can't remember last time we won 10 in a row. And so let's take this and use it as momentum. And to stay motivated during the drills, you know, usually after every drill we'll hit a whistle and they have to yell out a certain command. And so this one's 10 in a row this week.
Game time in Moorhead is set for 5:30 p.m. Fleming hosts Boyd County at noon on Saturday. Russell travels to Corbin at 3, and Menifee travels to Wolf County at 4. The Round County boys soccer team will also be in action on Saturday. The 9-2-2 Vikings welcome 2-10 St. Patrick. Head coach Max Hammond says his team is used to playing tough competition outside the 16th region.
We play a lot of teams out of the 10th. I mean, we probably play as many teams out of the 10th as we do the 16th as far as us go. But they bring in some kids that have some talent every now and then. And, you know, last year they had a really good team. I know they lost some kids off of that team, but, you know, it looks like they're maybe in a rebuilding year, kind of like what we are, and, you know, should be a good little game for us.
Game time is set for 1 p.m. Fleming County hosts Covington Layton at 4 p.m., and East Carter travels to Madison Southern at 6. The Morehead State soccer team opens Ohio Valley Conference play tonight. The Eagles face off with Tennessee Tech in Tech Soccer Field in Cookeville, Tennessee. The Eagles, who enter the match with a 1-6 overall record against non-conference competition, will try to begin the conference play by picking up points with a win or a tie for the first time since 2014. The last win in the conference opening match came in a 2-1 win over Jacksonville State on September 29, 2013. Tennessee Tech plays host, sporting a 2-4-2 record, and was most recently defeated by Lipscomb at home. On their home turf in 2019, the Golden Eagles are 1-2. Morehead State won the previous meeting between the teams, defeating Tennessee Tech 2-0 in Morehead, Kentucky on October 12, 2018. Game time is set for 8:30 p.m., and live statistics of the match are available on msueagles.com. The Morehead State University volleyball team will resume play in the Comfort Inn Invitational this evening. The Eagles are coming off a victory over Marshall last night, snapping a 5-game losing skid to the school. MSU is now gearing up to take on Coppin State. Head coach Jamie Gordon says his team will need to take advantage of every opportunity to get the win.
I believe a lot in the talent and the type of athletes that we have involved with our program. We've got an extremely strong serve and pass team. I think our defense can match up with a lot of programs, regardless of their size. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to being able to apply our strength against some really good competition.
First serve in this evening's matchup is set for 6 o'clock. The Morehead State University football team is off to its best start in 10 years, and they're looking to keep things going at Murray State this weekend. Going into the game 2-1, the Eagles will be facing off with the Racers for the first time in over two decades. Head coach Rob Tenure says the break for the rivalry has gone on for long enough, and his guys are going for the win.
Very good team, and, you know, a team that's familiar for most of our alumni and past players a long, long time ago. Last time we played Murray was 1995, and last time we won at Murray was 1991. And our guys are up for the challenge. We've had a great week of preparation and looking forward to it.
Kickoff at Murray State's Stewart Stadium is set for 7:05 p.m. tomorrow evening. After that, Morehead State will have an open week before returning to Jane Stadium to host Davidson on October 5th. With a new coaching staff, a plethora of returning talent, and several promising newcomers, Morehead State Baseball is ready to tackle its fall schedule. WMKY's Sarah Mead has the story.
Last season, the NCAA permitted Division I teams to play outside competition in a limited amount of games in the fall. The Eagles will host Georgetown at 1 p.m. Sunday to begin their fall schedule. On September 29th, MSU will face Kentucky in Lexington. A team from Canada, the Academy Baseball Canada, will visit Allen Field on October 14th, and the annual intra-squad Fallward Series will take place October 24th through the 26th. New head coach Mick Aoki and his staff have a solid nucleus returning, and the 2019-2020 roster features 11 newcomers. Last year, Morehead State advanced all the way to the OVC Tournament Championship game before falling. The Eagles won 40 games for the first time in program history. For WMKY Sports, I'm Sarah Mead.
And finally in sports, the Cincinnati Reds are back in action tonight after having yesterday off. Cincy is coming off a winning series against the Cubs, going 2-3. Wednesday's game is a historic night for infielder Eugenio Suarez, hitting his 48th homer of the season. Suarez now holds the mark for the most home runs in a season by a Venezuelan player. Manager David Bell tells Fox Sports Ohio, "It was truly a fun night."
That was a great game. So many good things happened. I mean, and I don't want to cut that short, but the first thing I have to talk about is what Gino did tonight. Yeah. I mean, it's just incredible. We just got done celebrating, and just the accomplishment, it's hard to really put into words, you know, all the great players that have played in Venezuela, and to hit more home runs than any of those guys in one season is just an incredible accomplishment.
The Reds will now start a weekend series against the Mets at home. First pitch this evening is set for 7:10 p.m. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Ty Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Volleyball hosts the Comfort Invitational. Volleyball hosts the Comfort Invitational this weekend, hosting Coppin State tonight at 6 p.m. and Southeastern Louisiana tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell on news that Chinese officials were cutting short their visit to the U.S., dampening hope around trade negotiations between the two countries. And the Dow Industrials finished with a loss of 160.13 at 26,934.66. The S&P 500 was down 14.76 at 2,992.01. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 65.21 at 8,117.67. A Chinese delegation canceled a visit to U.S. farms in Montana, according to the Montana Farm Bureau chief, and the chief said that the officials were headed back to China earlier than planned. President Trump had said China would increase its purchases of U.S. agricultural products as part of a bilateral trade deal. The cancellation may be seen by some investors as a sign the two countries are no closer to reaching a trade deal. Trade-sensitive stocks were weak on that news today, with Caterpillar down 1.5%, Boeing losing 1.3%, and Apple dropping more than 1%. Earlier, deputy trade negotiators from the U.S. and China resumed face-to-face talks for the first time in almost 2 months. The deputy-level trade talks are expected to help lay the groundwork for high-level negotiations early next month. This briefly lifted investor sentiment around trade talks. In Federal Reserve news today, the St. Louis Fed President Bullard explained in a note why he thought the Fed should have made a deeper cut this week. There are signs that the U.S. economic growth is expected to slow in the near horizon, he says. Trade policy uncertainty remains elevated, and U.S. manufacturing already appears in recession, and many estimates of recession probabilities have risen from low to moderate levels, Bullard said. And, of course, earlier this week, the Fed did cut the Fed funds rate by 0.25%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 4 cents at $58.09 a barrel. Gold was up 1.2% at $1,523.60 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a fair day, with the Stock 600 index up 0.3%. Most markets were up in Asia, with the Nikkei up 0.2%, and the Shanghai Composite up 0.25%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp down 34 cents at $55.46, Lowe's down 91 cents at $110.96, Delta Airlines down 5 cents at $58.64, Marathon Petroleum up $1.17 at $55.09, and PPL Energy was up 14 cents to finish at $31.68. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition today. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Jonathan Burton, Sarah Mead, Nacogdoches Miller, Lori Likens, Chaz Jenkins, and Ty Martin. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Paul Miles, Hilliard Lyons Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Moorhead State University's own Dr. John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Tandy Wallingford and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.